the number one thing on God's list of His will for you. Do you know what God's number one will for your life is? That you become like Him. Amen. You're made in His image. He wants you to walk in that so that we become like Him. Every great dad wants a great child to be like them in all the good points.
Amen.
And that's one very essential reason for prayer. Prayer is so that we become like God. Prayer is not what we do when we just need something. Prayer is what we do and how we live in order to fulfill God's will for our life. Without effective prayer life, you won't fulfill God's will for your life. In really most every area, effective prayer is essential and necessary for all of us. Today we're talking about prayer again, if you'll let me. And if you won't let me, well, that's just too bad. Because the ushers have locked the door. I had a guest tell me one time after I said that, they came up after church and said, "Man, we were a little concerned after you said that you locked the door. We started looking around, what kind of church is this? It's a lock the door on you church until you get it. How long are you going to keep preaching on? Until you get it. Amen. Why do you keep harping on? Until you get it."
Amen.
One preacher named A.J. Gordon said, you can do more than pray after you've prayed, but you can never do more than pray until you prayed. John Wesley said, "God does nothing except in response to believing prayer." As we talk about prayer, we're going to open the door and go through it like we did last week, and just no telling what we'll hit on any particular moment or week. But we just want to cover all the things related to prayer, not just asking for, but all the things necessary for an effective, healthy prayer life that causes God to come close, and so that you know it, and so that things happen. S.D. Gordon said, "Prayer strikes the winning blow. Service is simply picking up the pieces." Somebody else said, "One should never initiate anything that he cannot saturate with prayer."
Amen. That's good.
Martin Luther said, "If I fail to spend 2 hours in prayer each morning, the devil gets the victory through the day. I have so much business I cannot get on without spending 3 hours daily in prayer." Chuck Smith said, "The most important thing a born-again Christian can do is pray." John Wesley said, "Prayer is where the action is." Paul Bilheimer said, "Satan does not care about how many people read about prayer if he can only keep them from praying."
Amen.
Chuck Smith said, "Prayer does not change the purpose of God, but prayer does change the action of God." Keep those things in mind as we go through some things here. If you'll open your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 5, we'll begin here somewhere. Last week we talked about approaching God, how important it is to consider the approach rather than just jump in and rehearse problems. Remember that? Rather than jump in and start repeating a bunch of stuff that we know, rather than jump in and just start saying a bunch of words, it's the approach and the recognition that what I'm about to do is enter into the holy place where all needs are met, where all the blessing is, where the presence of God is. As I approach God, I'm getting close to the fountain of glory.
Hallelujah.
I'm getting close to the table where I can eat. I'm getting at the approach itself takes me where I need to be. So it's not in all the words I rehearse or the particulars that I say. At least that's not first for sure. It's the attitude of the heart in approaching the Almighty God. And as we talk about this, let me mention some things about what a healthy prayer life includes. Number one, it includes conversation in English. How many of you speak English? How many of you speak Spanish? Some of you probably pray in Spanish. Conversation in your known language Sure, prayer includes that. It also includes conversation in tongues. We'll talk about that not today, but conversation in tongues, other languages that you don't understand that are given by the Spirit. That's part of prayer life. Not for today, but we'll talk about it later. Prayer also includes not just talking, but listening. Listening is sometimes a lost art in prayer. Christians don't know how to listen sometimes. Well, Christians just aren't very good listeners sometimes. And then when it comes to the invisible God, it's difficult. So you have to learn how to listen. First, you have to believe that it's important. We'll talk about that today. Reading the Bible is part of your prayer life.
Amen.
Did you know that reading your Bible is part of your prayer life? Some people think reading the Bible is separate from prayer. I think reading the Bible is part of prayer. Because when you start talking about listening, reading your Bible is how you listen. Reading the Bible is 50% at least of how you listen to God.
Amen.
You say stuff and then God says stuff. How's God going to say stuff? Well, He's already said a bunch. Worship and adoration is part of prayer. Praise and thanks is part of prayer. All these should be part of anybody's healthy prayer. If you're going to have a real good healthy prayer life, you're going to have these things. Declaring and reminding and confessing Scripture or saying truths or reminding God. Just addressing a topic by putting it on the table. Declaring, confessing truth. That's part of prayer life. And then finally we get to finally asking. Asking is just one tiny piece of your prayer life. Requesting of God is just one small sliver of the prayer pie. We need to do it effectively. It includes a bunch of things. Petitioning God includes a bunch of things. Supplication and intercession. The prayer of faith. Lots of things go into the way we petition. But it's only one sliver of the pie. All these others have to be included. Sometimes people just simply don't have a good praise and thanks life. They don't have a good thanksgiving life toward God, and that makes all their praying so feeble. Has no zest to it. Almost barely can reach past the ceiling. Praise and thanks will get you past the ceiling. So anyway, we're going to talk about all those things. We'll fit them all together somehow. I might give you a list of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I might skip to 10 and 12 and 13. But just let the Lord put the pieces together for us, okay? We don't want to end up with some weird thinking. Now, a lot of times when we're new Christians, we just don't know enough, and so we have these false ideas about prayer. I remember a story of Jerry Savelle. He said this when he was a teenager in high school. When he got to high school, he prayed because he believed in God to some degree, wasn't really saved, or didn't understand salvation very well. And he got to high school and he was going to be on the track team and he was a pole vaulter. And he said, Lord, help me break the high school pole vaulting record. He said in his first trip down the lane, stuck his pole in, went over the thing, fell and broke his leg. And that damaged him because he had honestly said those words to God in a real way. He was expecting to break the pole vaulting record that year. But he broke his leg. And so his thought was, here I went and asked God to help me break the pole vaulting record and God broke my leg. And he imagined that it was because of some religious form error that he should have prayed, Lord, let me break the pole vaulting record for your glory. Well, he was totally wrong on both accounts. You don't have to pray for your glory. Of course, we live for the glory of God, but that you don't have to add on some formal thing to make a prayer right. And he was wrong in the fact that God didn't break his leg. Why did he break his leg? Because he fell wrong. God wasn't mad at him for not praying right. So he had a lot to learn. He said, but that ended my prayer life. It ended his prayer life. Now, he didn't know enough. He wasn't in church. He wasn't hearing the right thing taught. He didn't understand the Bible. He knew nothing about how to pray. He knew nothing about God's will. He knew nothing about God's goodness. He did not understand anything about the new covenant in Christ Jesus. He knew nothing about what the cross really did for him. He had no real confidence in how to pray, who he was praying to, or the will of the one he's praying. He knew nothing. But he just dreamed up some answers. That's what a lot of people do. You and I have to learn the truth. We have to get some understanding. Because once you understand the goodness of God, you wouldn't make a conclusion like that. A false conclusion like that. That God did this because of some. But it stopped his praying for years till he was in his 20s and he got hold of the real Word of God. So we don't want to be like that, because there's a lot of Christians that do the same thing. We learn like one little piece of God, or one little tidbit, and we pray and we have this big thing that we're trusting God for, and it doesn't happen, and then people back away from God for years. People get mad at God. People get disappointed in God because the thing they expected didn't really work. But maybe there's a missing element of something. Maybe it was based on something else. Maybe it was just a misunderstanding that you had about God or how to pray. See what I'm saying? Working with God and accessing God is not just a flip of a coin. It's not just a little flippant. Well, I flipped the coin over my right shoulder into the water. Should I have done the left shoulder? I flicked the salt 2 or 3 times. Should I flicked it more than? Superstition has nothing to do with reaching God. Amen. Saying it perfectly has nothing to do with reaching God. What it does have to do with is what's inside your heart, and how much confidence and understanding do you have in the one in whom you're praying to.
Amen.
That's what it all boils down to.
Right.
So, 1 Peter chapter 5, I want to begin with this. This is one form of prayer. Many forms of prayer, at least 9 or 10 or so or more. One form of prayer is one you need to get familiar with, because this should be part of your prayer life. And most of you either have done it or are doing it. Maybe you don't understand exactly what you're doing, but this is actually part of prayer, and it's how you can get God involved in your life. 1 Peter chapter 5, it's called the prayer of commitment, committing something to the Lord. We could call it the prayer of casting, taking your concern and putting it over, committing it to the Lord. Now, a lot of people think they've done that when they haven't. Track with me for just a moment. 1 Peter 5, verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you.
Amen.
Simple as that. Stop there and look up. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Casting your care is different than praying about all the details within your care.
Okay. Come on. Yes.
Many times we get stuck in the details, trying to figure things out. Now, God, now you know that if so-and-so needs to do this, and if you'll just have them make this phone call, and Lord, I need you to do this for them, and this for that, and this for that, and this for that, and do this. We got it all figured out. We decide that I will be happy if this comes to pass, and this happens, and that doesn't happen, and this happens, and that doesn't happen, and I got a lot of problems, God. I got a lot of things going on in this problem here. The prayer you need to pray is the prayer of commitment.
Amen.
Where you take all that bundle of complexity and just let it go.
Amen.
God, I'm casting it to you. Now, if I've cast it, He's got it.
Amen.
One of the reasons you find your difficulties continue over and over and forever and ever and around is because you never actually commit it.
Mm-hmm.
You never actually cast it. You just keep rehearsing it. You just keep praying about it. Every morning, I'm praying about this. I'm still praying about my kid. Praying about my grandkid. I'm still praying. What are you praying about? When are you going to decide that God can handle it?
Amen.
The moment you decide God will do it, Do it what? Not your details. The moment you decide God will handle it for you is the moment you cast it. And that's the moment that God undertakes. Until then, God's over here going, cast it. Let go. Cast it over. I'll do it for you. Come on. Week after week and month after month, you got to let it go. You got to quit thinking. You got to disconnect. You got to cast it away from you. Now, don't, when you think of casting, don't think fishing rod and reel. Yep, nope, see, still there. Still got a problem. Don't think fishing where you can bring your problem back anytime you want to. Think of it as throwing a pass, maybe. I throw the pass, he better catch it. He's God, he can catch it. If I have a problem and I need help with it, a lot of people do this with God. God, now, you know, God, I need help. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, born in Bethlehem. We got all this. We start trying to figure out how come he hadn't fixed it? Why? Oh why, God? Oh why? Oh God. Oh God. Everybody pray. I got a problem. How do you know they got a problem? Because you can see it on their face. I've got a problem. Oh God. Oh God. If I could just cry enough, sound religious enough. I'm praying. I believe in Jesus. Amen. I believe in God. I got scripture. I'm quoting it. I'm doing everything I know to do. Amen. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. People think they've done everything they know to do. They hadn't, because they hadn't let it go yet.
Amen. That's right.
The problem is I'm still holding on to this in my soul.
Amen.
My soul has too tight a grip on the thing I'm praying about. Amen. Whether it's direction, making a decision, yeah. Tough relationship, how am I going to handle this? I need something in life. I'm trying to receive something in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. The soul has too tight a grip and God can't do anything. He wants to. He loves you. He's willing. He won't do it till you let go of it.
Right.
So the prayer of commitment is the prayer of casting your care, which is, okay. Now, it's still in your life. That's my keys. That's my keys. I mean, if I ever think about my keys, I think, oh, yep, Aaron's got them. Where's my key? Aaron's got it. Oh, that's right. Aaron's got it. That's how you're supposed to be with God. You can think about a problem and think, oh, nope, that's right, God's got it. Mm-hmm. Where's my problem? Oh, God's got it. Rather than me pining away about my keys. Where are my keys? Oh, my gosh, I hope he gives them back. Oh, my gosh, where are my keys? Oh, no, he's got them. I don't have to think about it. I've cast the care to God. Amen. That's one of the secrets to prayer. You're going to have to implement that into your prayer life. Thank you, sir. Yeah. At any moment, I can come back and get it from him. People do it all the time. They pray to God at night and cast their care. They wake up the next morning and say, God, I need to talk about that again. I need to go through those details again. Are you sure you got it? At any time, he'll let you come back to him and take it, and then he'll halt his work for you. But he's willing to help us. He's willing to get involved in our lives as long as our heart can stay disconnected from it. Not in desire or not in expectancy, but in care, in worry. In burden.
Good.
Jesus said his burden's light. Let go of your burdens, pick up Jesus' burden. His is light, and it'll work for you. And you'll find rest into your soul. That's one way that you know you've done it. You find rest. You can take a deep breath without a ball of nerves inside your stomach. If you recognize a ball of nerves inside your stomach, you haven't let go. You haven't let go. That's how I got married. I prayed one time, cast the care, let it go. I wanted to be married. And you know the story. I mean, I prayed one time. I found one scripture. Prayed one time. Received my wife one time. Never again worried about it. Not even one time worried about it for 7 years. Had no pining away, no hopelessness, no uncertainty, no timetable, no clock. That's a good one. If you recognize there's a clock in the inside of you, you hadn't cast your care. You know, it's ticking away and it's scaring you. It's the threat. The clock can be your threat many times. If you recognize a clock in you, you didn't cast it enough. Hallelujah. Psalm 55, verse 22, you can just write that reference. Says, cast your burden on the Lord. NIV says, cast your cares on the Lord, and He shall sustain you. He'll never permit the righteous to be moved.
Amen.
Cast your burden to the Lord. Cast your cares to the Lord. He'll sustain you. Once you hit the sustaining feeling, oh, it's a glorious feeling.
Praise the Lord.
Once you've hit that feeling inside you, you can leave the prayer closet. No, I hadn't prayed about it long enough. Probably did. Probably did. The goal is to hit that feeling. Hit that feeling of I'm free now. The Lord's got it. I've settled it. I can be free of this thing now. He'll never permit the righteous to be moved. Hallelujah. I would say this, add some humility to your approach. Look at verse 6. 1 Peter 5, 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. He may exalt you in due time. Humbling yourselves under the mighty hand of God is a key to prayer. Approaching Him with some humility. Not self-abasement. Now look up here.
Amen.
I'm not talking about you beating yourself up saying, God, I'm not worthy. Oh. Not groveling, not crawling on your knees, not feeling worthless, not feeling so unworthy. We're not talking about, humility is not self-abasement.
Amen.
Humility is submission. Submitting to God's will. Submitting your so important thing that you figured out, that you want, that you must have. How about humbling yourself with that? How about submitting to God and saying, God, it doesn't have to be that big of a deal to me. I did that in about marriage. I went to the Lord and said, Lord, I think I want to be married. I don't have to be. I'm willing not to be. But I think it's okay that if I want to. I talked to Him like this about it. Before I made my request, I talked to Him and said, Lord, I'll go without being married. No problem. If that's what you want, if that's what you need, I'll do that. But I think I have a desire to be, so I'm going to go ahead and ask you for a wife. I felt like it was okay, but I was humble about it. I was submitted to God about it. So you can't be so bullheaded in your prayer. You can't approach God bullheadedly.
Amen.
You got to humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God.
Amen.
You may not be so right in the thing that you think must happen. Maybe God has something to say. Maybe He has a different plan. Maybe He just wants to add something. You can't do it if you're not humble. And really, if you're not humble, you can't even get close enough. A lot of times in prayer, we just don't even get close enough because we're so bullheaded. We've already got our shoulders, you know, concrete. Our head's stuck. Everything we're doing is stuck, and we can't get anywhere with God. So that add some humility to your praying, and it'll probably work out a little better for you. All right. Okay, we'll read one more scripture along this line. Philippians chapter 4, you all know it by heart, I'm sure. If you don't yet, you will. A lot of these things you should know by heart eventually because they sustain. They remind you in prayer. Because every one of you are going to get into a rut where one day you're going to have a set of keys that is your big problem. You're going to have to remember to cast it. Because day after day after day, it's going to burden you. It's going to be on you. And you're going to have to learn how to get rid of it. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing. I mean, you could put a period there and it'd solve most of our problems. Be anxious for nothing. So what do you have to be anxious about?
Nothing.
Be anxious for nothing, but in everything. So replace your anxiety by prayer. But in everything by prayer and supplication. Now, we're not talking about supplication today. That's the asking part. It's one aspect of asking. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, notice how that's part of prayer.
Amen.
Let your request be made known to God.
Yep.
A lot of times people never get to the thanksgiving part. They get stuck in the asking. They get stuck in the prayer. Sometimes they get stuck in the supplicating. And they certainly get stuck in the anxious part. Sometimes we never even make it to prayer. We're just stuck in the anxiety part.
Right.
It's the truth. Prayer is supposed to be the substitute for your worries.
All right.
Prayer is supposed to be the substitute for your anxiety and worry, not part of your anxiety and worry. A lot of times our praying turns out to be simply worrying out loud. Expressing our anxieties is all we do in prayer. And it's very ineffective. You're supposed to not be anxious at all, rather let your prayer and your supplicating and your thanksgiving replace it completely. Then, verse 7 can take place, and not until. Then the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We love that part, don't we? The peace of God comes, which you can't even understand. It's so wild and so awesome, it passes your mind. You can't even describe it. It's such a wonderful feeling when the peace takes you over. How many of you have ever felt the real peace of God? Where you had zero care in the world, nothing was bothering you, not because circumstances weren't there, but because God's peace took you over. How many of you?
Praise the Lord.
It's a feeling that you never want to lose. I'm telling you, it's a feeling that you cannot lose if you want to be a happy, healthy Christian. If you don't want to be sour, if not, you'll be sour through your daily life. The peace can pass that passes all understanding can keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. But it doesn't come by saying, oh God, give me peace. Pray that I get some peace. Peace doesn't come that way. Now, of course, you can ask God for anything. You can ask Him for joy and you can ask Him for peace. But peace, scripturally, doesn't come just by asking for peace. It comes after you've not been anxious for anything. Rather, you've prayed and supplicated and thanked. And then the peace of God will keep your hearts and minds. See, there's ways and means to get things. But God, I asked God for peace. He didn't give me peace. He gave you Scripture.
Amen.
You have to do something for the peace. You have to enact some spiritual principle before the peace comes. But then it absolutely comes.
Amen.
But I did that and I'm still anxious. You didn't do it enough. You didn't actually do it then. Because it says here, if you do it, then the peace of God will come. But it didn't come. Then you didn't do it. I mean, that's how you got to take the Word of God. The Word of God is absolute. It will absolutely work just as God said if you do the if part.
That's right.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Now, let's mention something about the listening part of prayer because prayer has a listening side. We talk, and then God wants to talk. It's perfectly fine for us to express our soul, to lay out our soul, to unload from our soul. It's okay to unload from our soul. You understand? But then after you're done unloading from your soul, be sensitive and listen for God to speak back to you.
Amen.
Let Him say what needs to be said. Let Him present a scripture. Let Him say something by the Spirit. Let Him respond to you so that you don't just get stuck in regurgitating all of your issues, expressing all of your discontents. You with me? And then really let that one sentence He says or that one paragraph, let that one truth He gives you back, let that one response settle you. I want to talk about that because it's going to take some understanding about how to listen right. Well, I prayed and I never heard nothing. Look, it's going to take some faith.
Amen.
You're going to have to know some right things in order to hear from God.
Amen.
The first, obviously, there's two ways that God will speak to us. One is by His voice, primarily spoken to our spirit. Don't be looking out here for His voice. Occasionally, people have heard the audible voice, but primarily, it's the inward voice. Now, once you hear the inward voice, it will almost sound audible. You might even look around thinking, did everybody hear that or was it just me? So one way is to hear the voice inside you. We'll talk about that, the how to. We have a whole series on how to hear the voice of God, how to be led by the Spirit. But I just want you to recognize there's two ways. One is to hear on the inside of your spirit, the still small voice, the voice of your spirit, the Holy Spirit speaking to your spirit, relaying it to your mind through your conscience. You understand? The conscience being the voice of the Spirit. So God speaking on the inside is one way. Another way is through the Word of God that's already been written. You understand? Now everybody's excited about this inward part. Ooh, I can hear God speak. And then you talk about the Bible and they're like, oh, well, it's just the Bible. Oh, I got one of them. Yeah, but until you can value these printed pages, these printed scriptures, it's going to be very difficult to hear anything else. The more versed you are in the scriptures, the easier it is to hear Amen. The spoken to your heart voice. And the more value you'll place on it. You have to understand the Word of God. Yeah. Think of it this way. In Revelation, it says that Jesus, it describes Jesus when He comes back on the horse with us to reign for 1,000 years. And it just describes physically some things. It says He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And His name is called the Word of God. Jesus is called the Word of God. That's His name, the Word of God. So when you're praying, and then you start to listen, and then when you hear the voice of God, or the Word of the Lord, it's as if you have just met Jesus. He has just come close. Because He is the Word of God. Well, I just wish I could see Jesus. If you could hear His Word, that would be the same. How many times in the Old Testament do you remember, and the Word of the Lord came unto me saying, the Word of the Lord came unto Nathan saying, the Word of the Lord came unto John, the son of Zechariah saying, the Word of the Lord needs to be able to come to us. That's Jesus coming close. Every time a scripture touches your heart, that's Jesus touched you. So don't look for a physical touch or a physical person in Jesus. Even when you imagine Him, don't imagine Him using the picture on the wall or the image of the cross, Him died. Don't use that in your imagination of Jesus. Don't know Him by the flesh. Know no man after the flesh. Amen. Don't try to know Him. What color was He? Well, what His hair looked like? You know, if somebody ever says Jesus appeared to them, your first question should not be, what did He look like? What color was His eyeballs? Who cares? Who cares? How tall was He? Was He cute? Who cares? Okay, I won't meddle too much there. Think of it as, I got to know Him. And if I can hear a word, if I can hear a scripture in my heart, I know Him now. If I can get close to this Word of God, I know Him now. Amen. Jesus said you can't live except by getting close to Him. He said you can't live but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You and I, to live, we have to hear the Word. Amen. So prayer must be. Prayer must be the drive to hear the Word. In prayer, it's not just me talking. It's got to be me trying to get the Word. I'm trying to hear from God. Once I hear from God, His words have life in them. My words are life. They are spirit and they are life. That's what I need in prayer. I don't need the truck tire fixed in prayer. I just need some words of life, then the truck tire can get fixed. You follow me? Now, it's okay to pray for the truck tire or the engine or the AC. It's okay. But just recognize that part of our prayer life has to be this quest. I just need to hear God's Word and everything's okay. As soon as I hear the Word, everything's fine. As soon as I know from my Father, everything's cool. And it might be just something as simple as hearing back from him a scripture. Fear thou not. Be not dismayed. That's it. That solves it. Fear not. I'm your God. Be not dismayed. I'll help you. I'll strengthen you. I'll uphold you. I have a huge issue and I come to God and I lay it down and I talk about it and I ask him to help. And then I'm silent for a moment. And I let him tell me a scripture. Which scripture is he going to tell me? The ones I know. You got to know some scriptures so he can tell you them. Yeah, but it doesn't seem real enough. It's real. So I lay down everything and I talk about it and I ask him to help. And then I just quiet for a moment and he says, fear thou not. I'll help you. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Ah, okay. Now I can go have a good day. Praise the Lord. That's done. Now he might tell you a scripture that you don't know and you'll say, wow, is that in the Bible? He might do that. But you ought to know your Bible. You'll get the answer a lot quicker.
Amen.
Now if you're a rookie, then you might say, God, I need an answer. Wow. If you end up in Leviticus, you're in trouble. But for rookie Christians, occasionally something really happens and it speaks to them, and God will have mercy on us for doing it that way. That's not God's best way. It has happened for some people. I think I've even done it one time. And it spoke to me and it helped my life that day. But I don't use that as a method. That's a little too superstitious. That's a little too lottery-ish for me. There's a better way. God needs us to know how to hear his voice, have confidence in hearing a scripture. And if you don't hear a scripture and you don't know something, then start reading. So here I've come to God in prayer. I've said a few things. I might have already laid down my request, or more wisely, I'm talking to God about what I ought to ask for first. Now, Lord, here's the deal. I got a thing happening here, and I'm not exactly sure what to ask for here, but I do know that you said that this will happen and you'll be good to me and that you have all my path laid out and that you've ordered my steps, and I do know that you're good and you're loving and you're kind, and I do know that your will for me is... You start to remind God of some things. I know what you said about not doing that. I know what you said about not doing this, so I'm not going to plan on those two things. Okay, so maybe you could direct me on how to pray. You ever done that before? How should I ask? What should I expect? Rather than let my own brain try to figure out what I need to ask for, how about getting some scripture on the matter? Turn with me to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Listen, sometimes we get stuck thinking that the blessing is in the circumstance getting fixed. Sometimes we think that if my circumstances get fixed, then I am blessed. And when somebody says I am blessed, they're thinking about, yep, I have a job, and I have all my circumstances figured out. Look, the blessing, the biggest blessing, we can say the larger blessing is in the hearing
Absolutely.
Of the sentence Absolutely. From God. The moments in my life that were the biggest is when the Almighty spoke something. When the Almighty showed me a scripture. Those are the biggest moments in my life. It makes it very special. Makes my relationship very special. When prayer becomes relationship special to you rather than got to get stuff from God special, it's really special.
Amen.
Hallelujah. One time, remember that when the people were outside the house and the disciples said, Jesus, your mother and your brother are outside waiting to see you. You know, it's too crowded in here. It's like, can we give them special privilege? Your mother and your brother are out here waiting to see you. And Jesus looked around and said, who are my mother and my brothers? He said, and then somebody piped up and said, blessed is the womb that bare you and the paps that you suckled and suckled you. People are always trying to get carnal. Turn it into something carnal. This is why some of the honor of Jesus' mother is gotten out of hand. It's just trying to get it natural. Jesus said, rather, blessed are those that hear the word of God and keep it. How many mothers would have liked to have been Jesus' mother? Don't raise your hand. It's a rhetorical question. That would have been such a blessing to know Jesus. Think about how many people have said, it would have been such a blessing to know Jesus personally, to be walking with Him like a disciple when He was here on the earth. Yeah, rather, blessed are those that hear the Word of God and keep it. Amen. There's a blessing in hearing the Word of God. Romans chapter 10. Verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You're going to have to hear from God to have faith. You'll have to hear from God to have faith. You hear Him in your spirit, that'll give you faith. Hearing from His Word, that'll give you faith. Reading a scripture 2,500 times will help faith get into your heart. And then we know verse 10 says, with the heart one believes, and then with the mouth confession is made. In this instance, the heart believes unto right standing, and the mouth confession is made to salvation. So if you can believe it in your heart and say it with your mouth, you can have a miracle. Whether it's to get your soul saved, or whether it's to get delivered from a devil, or whether it's to get healed from a sickness, or whether it's to get food on the table. If you can believe it in your heart and say it with your mouth, you can have it. Part of prayer is getting the Word of God in. You're going to have to listen. You're going to have to be attentive to listen to God. That means you're going to have to hush sometimes in the prayer time. You'll have to hush. Is everybody hush sometimes? Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
People who feed themselves constantly on the Word of God can more easily follow their hearts. Sometimes we say, well, just follow your heart. But it's dangerous to say that to everybody. We can't just say follow your heart to everybody. But to a person who has the Word of God in them and knows the Holy Spirit, you can follow your spirit. You're supposed to follow your spirit. The Bible says that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. What does that mean? That means the spirit of man is where God lights you. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. If the Lord wants to light your path, He's going to light your spirit. Turn with me to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, first of all, we need to get some faith that we can hear God's voice. Every one of us can hear God's voice, all right? Every one of you can hear God's voice. It's not just for the preacher. Every one of you can use the scripture to hear Him and also can hear the voice of His Spirit on the inside of you. Every single one of us can hear the voice of His Spirit on the inside of us. Every one of us sheep can hear the shepherd's voice.
Amen.
Every one of us. You with me?
Yes.
But you need faith to hear from God. To hear God's voice spoken on the inside, it takes faith. That means you're going to have to believe that He'll speak, believe that you can hear, believe that there is a relationship even though you can't see Him, believe that He is going to give you direction, believe He's not going to leave you confused, believe that He's not going to forsake you and run off and be silent.
Yes.
You're going to have to believe God in order to hear God speak to you. But it's such a blessing when He does. I remember the first time I heard God's voice. The first sentence I ever heard God say was, "Son, I won't let you down." That was the first sentence I ever heard Him say, "Son, I won't let you down." It was the most special thing that I've ever heard before. But even before that, I had heard God speak to me. I had known in my spirit things that God was telling me. So sometimes you get a knowing. Sometimes you get a light flicks on. Sometimes you get a sentence. Sometimes you just get a sense. So we're not going to talk about that fully today, but I wanted to mention that that's how you get to hear God. But Jesus said this, you got to start with some faith in the fact that you can hear from God. John 10, verse 3, to him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Skip to verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. How many of you are sheep? You can hear God then. You can be confident that you can hear God. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 33 says, call unto me and I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things which you know not. You got to believe that.
Amen.
He'll answer you. You got to believe that. And you got to look further than just, you know, a billboard. Well, I was praying in there, I saw the billboard. It said, God answers. You got to go further than that. You got to expect the spiritual connection in this relationship with God. Jeremiah 29, 12 says, you shall call upon me and you'll go and pray unto me and I'll hearken unto you. And then it goes on to say, when you seek me with all your heart, I'll be found by you. You have to know that if you seek God, you'll find him. You have to know that if you approach God, he'll approach you. You have to know that if you call upon him, he'll answer you. You have to believe that he's got good plans for you. To show you things to come. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
A fellow named Andrew Bonar said, oh brother, pray. In spite of Satan, pray. Spend hours in prayer. Rather than neglect friends than not pray. Rather fast and lose breakfast, dinner, tea, and supper, and sleep too than not pray. And we must not talk about prayer. We must pray in right earnest. The Lord is near. He comes softly while the virgins slumber. Corrie Ten Boom says, don't pray when you feel like it. Have an appointment with the Lord and keep it.
Amen.
A man is powerful on his knees. There's a commitment to prayer. Turn with me to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. I want to mention another form of prayer. So we've got the prayer of casting your cares. So has everybody cast all their cares? Think about a care that you might be carrying today, and let's lay it at the altar today before we go. Think about something that's just been dogging you and bothering you and rolling around in you for way too long. Think about the clock. Some of you have some clocks on the inside for whatever reason. Some of you have just a ball of nerves going off on the inside of you. Something gnawing at you all the time. Think about those things, and we're going to just lay them all here at church before you go to lunch. I said, we're going to lay him here at church before you go to lunch.
Hallelujah.
I said, the day of carrying your cares is over.
Hallelujah.
All right.
Who's going to get serious about casting cares?
Hallelujah.
If y'all would have just come running up right then casting your cares, we could all go to lunch now. But you didn't. So just let it soak for another 5 minutes and then we'll do it.
Wow. Wow.
Luke chapter 22, this is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. The next form of prayer is the prayer of consecration. Consecration. Everybody know what consecration is? Consecration is devoting your life. It's consecrating your will. It's giving up your own self for God's will. Laying down your will, getting God's will. It's consecrating. I give my life for His life. I lay down what I want for His wants. That's consecrating. A little different than casting cares. You see what I mean? So this nut needs to be part of your prayer life. Luke chapter 22. This is when Jesus was praying that he didn't want to go to the cross. Did you know Jesus did not want to go to the cross?
Yes.
He didn't want to.
Nope.
He don't want to have to die. He liked living. But he's willing to do it anyway because God wanted it. Are you willing to do what God wants because he wants it? If you're willing to do what God wants because he wants it, you'll succeed. Hallelujah. F.F. Bosworth said that if we want the same thing that God wants for the same reason he wants it, we're invincible. You're going to have to go get God's will on the matter. You're going to have to give up your will for God's will. You'll be invincible. For the same reasons. Leave your personal selfish reasons. Sometimes there's a hint of personal selfish thing in there. There's a hint of personal glory or wealth. Oh, yes, I want the blessing. I want this to happen and this to happen. But there's a little self in there. Get that out of there. Get that out of there. You'll be blessed. God will bless you. Want it for the same reason he wants it. Just for the sake of it working out right. You know, we teach people in business that wealth and prosperity or success is never achieved if what you want is wealth and prosperity. Rich people, wealthy people, we can say the most successful people aren't that way because they wanted to get rich. You can study some of the wealthiest people in the world, the Rockefellers, the Buffett, not Jimmy Buffett, but Warren Buffett, Bill Gates. Those guys succeeded because they loved what they did. Those guys succeeded because they had an ability and went after it with all their heart to succeed and do something for the world, for society, for people, to produce, to create jobs, to just make something happen that's in their heart. If you'll do it for that reason, the money can come. But if you're going to start my business because I'm going to, so to make me rich, you won't make it. I guarantee you'll never have the wealth or riches that you're thinking of. And you'll always be frustrated too. So want the same thing God wants for the same reason that he wants it, and you'll have success. So here's Jesus, knowing that his time is near, knowing it's time to go to the cross, doesn't want to, so he's just talking to God about it. This is what you do. This is what people, God's people do when they have a decision to make. They have to talk to God about it. So Jesus is talking to God, verse 41, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Notice that. Simple. It's the prayer of consecration. Lord, if there's any way, I don't want to do it. But not my will, your will. Amen. Then look at the next scripture. Look what happens if you'll give up your will. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. Think of how many people stuck in their thing that they have to do. Oh, God, strengthen me. Oh, God. No, that's not the right prayer. The right prayer is, God, not my will, but your will be done. And then the angel will come and strengthen you without you having to ask for it. Interesting, isn't it? Are we willing to lay down our will in the big things, the little things, the huge decisions, the tiny decisions? It's the prayer of consecration. C.S. Lewis said, for most of us, the prayer in Gethsemane, Garden of Gethsemane, is the only model. Removing mountains can wait. You realize that we want to move mountains. We want to use our faith and authority. We want to see miracles happen. But you haven't even consecrated. Not you. Other Christians haven't consecrated yet. They haven't even given up their life fully. But they want all the good stuff, but they haven't given up their stuff. It's the first step. You got to give up your will to have his will. If you don't lose your life, you can't have his life. But we like to keep our life. We like to secretly, well, I gave up most of everything. Yeah, but what about those little dear things to you that God doesn't have any part of? Are you willing to give those up? He might give them back to you. He might let you have those desires back later. I see y'all are, I've lost you. I see it.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at houstonfaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.